නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස ආනාපාන සති භික්කවේ භාවිතා බහුලී කතා චත්තාරෝ සතිපට්ඨාන පරිපූරේති තී දී දම ෆ්‍රෙන්ඩ්ස් වී වර් ඩිස්කසින් ආනාපාන සති සුත්ත and which is available in Majjhima Nikaya third book, and basically here the story behind the sutta is where Buddha was staying vassa, actually spending vassa in that is the rainy season, that is 3 months, with many other arahants, senior arahants, at Migaramatu Pasada, or the monastery built by Visakha and which is called Migaramatu Pasada, and that is where Buddha was spending his vassa. So after the ending of vassa, Buddha has seen that many monks, young monks especially, are practicing diligently, and the senior monks are advising them, and certain monks are advising 10 monks, 10 junior monks, another arahant is advising 20 junior monks, another arahant advising 30 junior monks, another arahant advising 40 junior monks. So likewise, all are practicing diligently, and so Buddha decided, let me stay here without going on to the other places. Let me stay here for another month, because the wandering may disturb the meditation. So probably Buddha wanted to continue the practice. So therefore he has given an opportunity for the others to continue their practice. So now the news spread, and the senior arahants also get to know that Buddha further spending time at the same place. So they continuously instructed the junior monks, and they also diligently practiced. And now that month also end. Now the complete rainy season has ended. And now again Buddha, while being in the open air with the other monks, so he again see that all these monks are quite pure. So some of them are arahants, some of them are non-returners, some of them are once returners, and some of them are stream winners, and all of them are practicing diligently. And therefore Buddha mentioned that if anyone is giving any kind of a reverence, any kind of offering to these sort of monks, so that offering will be really fruitful. And further, Buddha mentioned that this Sangha is pleasing to stay with, and they are reverential, and they are worthy of respect. So likewise, the qualities of the Sangha Buddha mentioned at that time. And then he found that there are many different types of meditation techniques that they are following. Some are following for foundations of mindfulness, some are practicing Brahma Viharas, some are practicing five or four kinds of striving, Iddipada, and some are practicing five faculties, some are practicing five spiritual powers, some are practicing seven enlightenment factors, and some others are practicing Noble Eightfold Path. Likewise, there are many different types of meditation techniques, so certain levels that monks are practicing. So now Buddha wanted to give a kind of a common type of practice which is suitable for everyone, and which is giving much more results. And again, in a way, if one practice systematically as Buddha preached, then there is a chance of fulfilling all four foundations of mindfulness using this technique, and again seven enlightenment factors using this technique, and again realizing Noble Eightfold Path, or the four noble truths, and that is the Vijja and Vimutti, that is attaining path and fruition, that is also possible. So what is the technique? So that is what Buddha going to explain here. So there is a systematic development of Anapanasati, mindfulness on breathing, and that is what now Buddha explaining in this sutta. So he starts with very basic instructions. He's asking the practitioner to find a suitable place, because as you know, for a beginner, it is necessary to have fairly calm environments, silent environment, because otherwise he may get distracted easily. So therefore, Buddha first of all advised to find out a very good place which is not noisy and good for meditation. So that is the first step. And then Buddha asked to sit down, sit cross-legged if possible, so that one is maintaining a symmetrical balance posture. This posture has to be well balanced and again easy to maintain, and again it allow the breathing to happen easily. There are no any restrictions, there are no any kind of obstacles for the breathing, so the breathing has to happen smoothly. Now with that kind of a posture and with that kind of an environment, then Buddha asked to establish mindfulness at the nostril. Now mindfulness is similar to a gatekeeper, so his task is assigned there, so he has to verify who is going in, but he is not following who is going in to the inside. Similarly, he has to verify who is going out, but he is not following who is going out and go away from the gate. Rather, his task is assigned at the gate. So similarly, we have to keep our attention at the nostril, and we also have to examine what is coming in so that we are recognizing as in-breath. Then while we are staying further at the nostril, then we understand, okay, there is something coming out and we are examining it, and then we notice it as out-breath. So likewise, we are assigned a task that is to observe as much as possible in breaths, as much as possible out breaths. So as I explained last time, so here the task is to avoid missing any kind of in breaths or out breaths. So if our mind get distracted, so then there may be certain breaths that we have missed. They have gone, so we didn't notice them. So we have to sort of give a responsibility to the mind that not to miss any breaths, that he has to stay attentively at the nostril and to recognize each and every in-breath and out-breath. Suppose now that has done. Now we are coming to the Kayanupassana section. So that is the first part of this 16 types of 16 steps, we can say. And the first four steps are explained as the Kayanupassana, mindfulness on the body. Now, once the mindfulness has well established, so actually one may experience some amount of calmness, some amount of joy, because he is now free from distractions. So that also is a kind of an achievement. And his mind is calm, quiet, peaceful. But if he is satisfying with it without going further, that is not the proper way. So therefore, we have to go further without being satisfied that I have now established mindfulness. I am no wavering. Sort of, I can spend long time at the breath. So if we are doing simply like that, then we are not going further. So the next four steps explained as Kayanupassana are more relevant to the clear knowing or clear comprehending. Sampajanya. So in order to clearly know, first of all we need to establish mindfulness. So now the mindfulness has well established, and then the task is to examine the object. Now here the primary object is in-breath and out-breath. Now the yogi has to carefully examine in-breath and out-breath. Now when you are doing this, so you have to maintain some amount of a balance. Because if you become sort of agitated, if you are filled with so many doubts, or if you feel lethargic, if you feel drowsy, or if you have some preconceived ideas, then you can't do proper observation. Because in order to do a proper observation, our mind has to be simple, not conditioned. Rather, we are sort of investigating what is really going on. So this investigative approach or examining the primary object. So at that time we have to have kind of a non-judgmental attitude and we are not expecting breath to behave behave the way we want. Rather, we allow breath to behave as it likes. And again, we are maintaining a very balanced, equanimous mind without getting distracted. And with that kind of a background setup, we are examining the breath. So at that time, probably we may understand, okay, now I am experiencing breath for a long time. Say about 10 seconds, I am experiencing in breath. For about 10 seconds, I am experiencing out breath. So I am giving certain numbers just to explain. Don't think that that you have to measure, you have to find out a clock and experience. That is not the point. But I am using these numbers just to explain you. And so the yogi may understand, okay, now I am experiencing in breath for a long time. And again, out breath may be again a long time. Or probably he might understand the in breath is longer, but out breath is not that long. It may be a little shorter. Or in breath is shorter, out breath is comparatively longer. Or in breath is cooler, out breath is warmer. In breath appears like touching certain part of the nostril, and the out breath may be touching certain other part of the nostril. So likewise, subtle differences, subtle information now available to the yogi. So this indicates that his attention has fairly focused and with less distractions, and he was able to let go of all the conceptual proliferations and closely examine what is really going on. And the understanding whether the breath is long or short is actually the first and the second steps that Buddha explained as belonging to Kayanupassana. Because breath is part of the body. That is also well explained in this sutta. Buddha say, breath is very fundamental component or fundamental process of the body. Fundamental process of our existence. What is attached to the body. So whenever we are examining breath, so we are examining the whole body in a different way. So if one is able to examine breath very carefully, closely, so then we are practicing Kayanupassana, mindfulness on the body. Now when one is continuing like this, so the changes might happen. That means previously the in-breath was longer, now it can become shorter. Previously out-breath could be longer, now it can become shorter. So we have to allow that to happen. So we are not trying to keep anything fixed. Rather, we have an attitude and kind of an open, flexible attitude. We allow the breathing to happen naturally. And we are simply accepting what is really going on. And we are examining those changes. And we are willing to accept those changes. And we should not think that at this time there are no distractions at all. There could be distractions, but we are not worried about them. So we have firmly established mindfulness, so we know how to handle if there are any distractions happen. We are not paying attention to those distractive thoughts. Rather, we are keeping our attention more and more with the breath. So with that, actually, we can calm down mental proliferation, because mental proliferation strengthens only when we are feeding it, when we are strengthening it. But right now we are more concerned about the breath. We are closely examining the breath. So that task is given more priority. As a result of that, conceptual proliferation won't get any strength from ourselves. So it becomes weaker and weaker. Even if mind distracted for a moment, it may quickly return back. So these, say, positive symptoms you may be able to observe in your meditation. That actually should be able to verify by yourself. Say a couple of weeks ago how I was, after another week how I am, and now how I am. So likewise, you are able to comparatively understand the improvement of the mindfulness, the improvement of the, say, concentration, clear comprehension. So likewise, certain spiritual qualities that we are talking, you are able to verify. Now, when we go to the third step, Buddha mentioned, so now he has to further restrain himself because now the task become more delicate, more subtle. Now you got to experience the whole breath. Now breath is not something abruptly appear, rather it appear very slowly and then it is reaching some middle area and then it is fading away. And ultimately it completely disappear. Now you have kind of a blank, a short blank period. And then the out-breath also similarly starts very subtle way. And then it reaches the middle area where we can comprehend fairly. And then that also fade away and ultimately disappear. Now we are coming to a blank area, very short gap. After that, the next in-breath starts. So likewise, there is a cyclical behavior of this breathing pattern, breathing process. So now one is trying to comprehend this whole cycle. So that is the third step. So knowing beginning, middle, end of in-breath, one is continue one's practice. Beginning the knowing the beginning, middle, and the end of the out-breath, one is continue the practice. Not only that, he may be able to notice the little gaps in between in-breath and the out-breath, out-breath and the in-breath. So this indicates that his mindfulness is improving, clear comprehension is improving, and he is able to examine very subtle phenomena very carefully. Because you know the breath itself is a very refined object. So if one is able to understand the beginning of it, the middle of it, the end of it, that indicates very refined mindfulness in himself, and fairly advanced clear comprehension in himself. Now these are not only subjected to breathing, but these skills that we are developing may be available throughout our daily life as well. Now you are able to examine any other situation also carefully without being biased and without getting emotional. So you are able to examine any kind of a situation with some equanimous mind. So these skills that we develop in Anapanasati is not limited to Anapanasati. So these are spiritual qualities we slowly make use of during the daily life as well. So this is a kind of an attitude change is going on. And behavioral change is carefully going on. And mental development is also going on. And cognitive development also coming on, so towards the next parts. So we need to understand that we are behaving carefully, behaving well. There are no any doubts, no any perplexities. So we are sure now this is the in-breath, we are sure this is the out-breath. So likewise, we are restraining ourselves and we are not allowing mind to become drowsy and sleepy and then we become lethargic. We are not allowing that either. And carefully doing the observation. So therefore, Buddha, while explaining this step, he uses the term sikkhati, that means carefully restraining oneself. Because at this subtle state, if you start to, say, switch the object, if you start to become drowsy, if you start to forcefully breathe, or if you start to change the posture, so the whole system may collapse because you are in a very delicate balance and you got to maintain it. And while doing that, now more and more kind of a joy going to arise because no distractions, mind is quite happy. The whole world has become secondary and you are given more prominence to the breathing. So therefore, mind become more and more satisfied. And even if it distracted for a moment, it quickly returns back. Now you are able to let go of the whole world, all the distractions, by means of this breathing process. Now, probably, when we are doing like this, now we may understand, okay, these different phases of the breath become more and more clear to us. And on the other hand, we can say the clear comprehension improving, mindfulness is sharpening. As a result of that, more subtle details going to be available. And not only that, maybe where exactly the breathing is happening or the breath is touching and what exactly is the, whether it is say cool or warm. So that is also can be understood. Or even suppose in-breath is cooler, so you might be able to understand, okay, how this cooling sensation starts, how you are coming to a more prominent area, and how this cooling sensation disappear, and you may reach a region where you can't really distinguish whether it is in-breath or out-breath. Now you feel a little bit of warm sensation, so that could be the beginning of the out-breath, and now you are experiencing more warmer area, that may be the middle, and now you are experiencing the end of the out-breath, so now it is fading away. So likewise, you can understand breathing in different ways as well, either with respect to the temperature, or whether it is long or short, whether it's the beginning, the middle, the end. So likewise, these very subtle aspects of the breathing become more and more evident to you. Now, rationally, we might think, as we are continuing, this cycle may grow indefinitely. So that is the rational way of thinking, that we might feel, okay, this process is now going on, and more and more subtle information is going to be available, and next week I may get more information, another week I may get more information, another month after another month I get more information. So that would be the logical thinking that we might have. But at one point, there's a complete different thing going to happen. So that is the fourth step that Buddha is explaining. So due to our close attention, there is an interesting phenomena happening here. Rather than subtle aspects, more and more subtle aspects become evident to us, now there's a kind of a transition happens here. So there is a growing, increasing phase where more and more details become available. And after a point, it turns to the other side. It now become more and more sort of mixed. You can't recognize whether it is the beginning, the middle, the end, or whether this is even the in-breath or the out-breath. Even that kind of information going to be missed, or rather you can't perceive. And breath becomes more and more subtler. Previously it may be subtle, but now it is more subtler, and it can even reach the subtlest. So there you can't comprehend whether it is the in-breath or the out-breath. So subtle. At that time there are certain obstacles, like you may fall asleep because the object has become almost disappeared and there is nothing much to do. Breathing is so soothing and mind feel quite tranquil. So most probably, whenever you are experiencing this kind of a state, most probably you might feel sleep, fall asleep. Now, on the other hand, since the object becomes subtler and subtler, so mind has no place to establish, latch on. As a result of that, more distractions also can happen. You are building up mindfulness, and slowly you are improving, but once you reach this stage, the object of your attention becomes subtler and subtler, so therefore mind has sort of no steady, strong place to establish. As a result of that, mind starts to wander. So these are the sort of difficulties that we may come across when we are reaching this kind of a state. Now, on the other hand, some people are thinking, okay, I am not getting enough oxygen, I better breathe longer, forceful breathing. So those kind of unnecessary doubts are also sometimes coming in. So if one is skillful, one has to avoid all these unnecessary obstacles. One is the doubt, thinking that I have to control breathing, or I might not get enough oxygen, or that kind of a thinking that we have to completely avoid. Similarly, changing of postures, we have to avoid. We have to maintain the same posture very carefully. And again, we should not allow the mind to fall asleep. And we should not change the object. And we have to carefully keep our attention on breathing, and that is actually fading away. In-breath is now disappearing, out-breath is also becoming subtler and disappearing, and we can't actually distinguish whether it is the in-breath or out-breath. So there is something is there, very subtle sensation, that's it. So if we are able to maintain that kind of a situation, such balanced, equanimous attitude, then breath completely calms down. Passambhayam kaya sankharam asati samiti sikkati. So passambhayam citta sankharam asati samiti. Sorry, passambhayam kaya sankharam pasati samiti sikkati. So this kaya sankhara is a term for the in-breath and out-breath, the breathing process. So we allow this breathing process to calm down, to tranquilize. So instead of we are trying to make it more gross and easy to understand or easy to perceive, now we are allowing breathing to disappear even. So we are not sort of shocked, or we are not panicked when breathing is disappearing. Rather, so according to the Buddha's instructions, we know now it is there's a kind of a disappearing cycle, disappearing process, fading away process that I may go through. So once you are experiencing it, you allow it to happen. You support that calming down process. So that is where Buddha mentioned, I shall breathe in, tranquilizing the bodily formation. So breathing is going on, but it becomes more and more subtle and you can't even perceive. And we should not fall asleep. So these are, easy to say, but for a beginner, when one is reaching this stage, so it would be very difficult, because this is a very subtle stage and you have to have a practical experience in this. You have to balance the faculties. So likewise, there are many practical points that you have to follow carefully, otherwise you won't succeed at this point. And already actually we have stopped noting in the sense labeling. In-breath, out-breath, in-breath, out-breath. Likewise, we were noting at the beginning, but that has to be altogether stopped when we are coming these subtle stages, because that indicates more effort, and that is an hindrance to refine concentration. So once we reach a fair amount of concentration or the tamed mind, we have to avoid any kind of noting, labeling, that means mentally verbalizing, that we have to altogether stop. And with a very quiet mind, we have to observe the process. That allows breathing to further calm down. That allows mind to further calm down. That allows mind to further concentrate. So that concentration won't happen if we continue to not the process. If we continue to label, if you continue to verbalize what is going on. So the vitakka, that means again and again using a term like in-breath or out-breath, in-out. So likewise, so if we are using such terms in order to recognize these objects, so then actually we can't reach very subtle stages. So therefore the yogi, once he realizes, okay, now mind has fairly calmed down, not necessary to verbalize, not, then he has to stop noting and has to maintain a very quiet mind. With that quiet mind, one is able to reach the other stages. Now, Buddha says, these are the stages belonging to Kayanupassana. Now, when one is furthering his practice, now he is reaching the Vedanupassana section. So Buddha mentioned there are four steps indicating Kayanupassana, and now we can go to the Vedanupassana as well. Actually, at this stage also, there is a possibility that one may look at this process more with the Vipassana point of view. That actually I can explain when we are reaching the Dhammanupassana section. So I am not going to touch at this level, because for a beginner, looking at this whole process from the Vipassana point of view might be a little difficult. But for the time being, I am leaving it here, and I am going to explain that when we are reaching Dhammanupassana section. And so we are going to the next section, that is the Vedana Anupassana. So now, when this whole process calmed down, when breathing also calmed down, and there are no any pains and aches coming from the body, so basically our task is fairly accomplished. So we want to be mindful, we want to establish concentration, we want to have some tranquility, and body also not feeling any kind of pain. So the whole situation is quite comfortable. So as a result of that, there's a little rupture going to arise. Piti parisangvedi asati samiti sikkhati. Piti parisangvedi pasasi samiti sikkhati. Sukha parisangvedi asati samiti sikkhati. Sukha parisangvedi pasasi samiti sikkhati. So a rupture can arise, and again kind of a happy, pleasant feeling can arise. So different pleasurable feelings can arise. So all sorts of positive or happy type of feelings can now arise. Now your body previously giving lot of trouble with lot of pains and aches, but now no more. And mind also was wandering previously, but now no more. Everything is in very good balance. As a result of that, certain amount of joy is now arising. Now, Buddha points out here that you have to maintain kind of a different attitude here. That is, rather than getting attracted to this rapturous or joyful experience, or claiming it as my rapture, my happiness, now you have to look at it objectively. Probably you can understand, while we are at the Kayanupassana section, we allow the breathing to happen naturally, and we were able to look at it objectively like an outsider. Body is breathing, but we are observing. So the breathing process is one process, we can say a bodily process. Observation process is another process, which is a mental process. And we were able to kind of distinguish these two. We were able to have some sort of a distance between these two. We allow the body to breathe. That is one process, a separate process, and we are able to observe it carefully from distant. So this perspective is extremely important. And we are learning that perspective while in the Kayanupassana section. Looking at the process like someone else's process. We typically use the term parato. Parato is a Pali term where we are maintaining an attitude, kind of a perspective. We are observing a bodily process like someone else's process. So this is the parato. Now, once we learn this perspective, so it has to be broadened and it has to be further carried forward into the other sections as well. Now, when we are experiencing happiness, when we are experiencing joy, when we are experiencing rapture, so same attitude has to be maintained. So it may be joyful, we are experiencing real happiness, but we should not attach to that. We should not sort of claim that I am happy. Rather, it is happiness. Rather, it is joy. Rather, it is rapture. So objectively, we have to look at it. So that is where the key point that we are now going through Vedana Anupassana. Now, pleasurable feelings we can quickly attach to, and we may grasp them, and we want to have them more and more, and we may even sit to experience them. So likewise, we may do something wrong. So rather than doing that, we allow things to happen naturally as a cause and effect relationship. And when rapture, joy, happiness, pleasure arising, we are able to observe them distantly, maintaining that correct attitude, correct perspective. Sukhapatisangvedi asasi samiti sikkhati. So the body is now going through kind of a comfortable situation, feeling at ease. Mind is also comfortable, very light, no any distractions, no any hindrances. As a result of that, mind is quite happy. So that pleasant feelings, now you are observing objectively. So as you know, there are three types of feelings: pleasurable feelings or sukhavedana, then painful feelings, dukkhavedana, equanimous feelings, that is adukkama sukhavedana. Now mostly we are going through the sukhavedana, pleasurable feelings, pleasant feelings, happy feelings, and we should be able to observe them objectively. So if we are able to observe them objectively, and then there may be a situation that our concentration further growing. Again, we are able to recognize feelings with more subtle details. And maybe the pleasure also, happiness also, probably you can understand it's a kind of, there's a beginning to that, there's a middle area where the intense happiness is observed, and there's a kind of a fading away part as well. So this is the careful observation. So we are examining the sort of happiness, examining the pleasure, examining the joy objectively. As a result of that, the behavior of that could be able to recognize carefully. And now further Buddha mentioned, breathing in, experiencing the mental formation. Now experiencing the mental formation is another part where we may go through. The mental formation is nothing but feeling and perception. Mental formation, Chitta Sankhara. Chitta Sankhara is a term collectively used to represent feelings and perceptions. Now, another interesting phenomena that we might go through at this level is that when mind is reaching this kind of a state, so there are no gross objects to latch on. There are no gross objects to establish on. So as a result of that, the consciousness, vijnana, may take certain memories available in our mind. Kind of a stored memory is available. From that, certain gross perceptions, signs, marks, probably can come out. Say for example, if you are a very faithful character and you are reaching this kind of a state, there may be an appearance of, say, a Buddha image. There may be an appearance of a pagoda or Sri Mahabodhi or whatever that you feel like more pleasant, faithful. So such an object probably can appear. I'm not telling that everybody may experience it, but for certain people, such an image probably can appear. Or certain other people, they might say, if you are a little bit of an angry character, then probably kind of a skeleton, maybe a devil kind of a character, sorry, devil kind of an image. So some sort of a fearful image also can happen. So by the way, important thing that Buddha wants to highlight here is all these are merely perceptions, mental images. Marichikupama sanya. So therefore Buddha warns us, telling these are like a mirage. Don't get carried away by them. Even if it is a Buddha image, even if it is a pagoda, even if it is a skeleton, even if it is a devil image, don't consider them as real. They are merely mental images. Your eyes are closed, but this is a mind-made image. So that we have to be very carefully understood. It may be very attractive or it can be even frightening, but it's a mental image. It's a mind-made one. It has happened because mind has no place to establish. Strictly speaking, the consciousness has no place to establish. As a result of that, some stored information, stored perceptions are now coming out, and it is manifesting like a Buddha image or pagoda or demon or skeleton or whatever it is, past devil relative or whatever it is. And if we are giving any value to it, if you consider it as something real, then we are deluded. But we have to very carefully remember Buddha's advice. All these perceptions, all these mental images, all these signs are merely mental images. They are like a mirage. They are not real water. They are not real. So if we are able to handle them carefully at this stage, then we can say, so different mental formations are going on, maybe feelings, maybe different perceptions, but I know how to handle them carefully. I am not carried away by them. I am not grasping them. I am not adding any value to them. I am not making them something substantial. But I know that they are mental formations, mind-made ones. So if we are able to handle these things carefully, then we reach the eighth stage. So Buddha mentioned tranquilizing mental formations. Now you are able to tranquilize mental formations. So you can see how carefully Buddha is taking us to the more and more advanced stages. So now we are dealing with the different states of the mind in a way. So as the bodily process calms down, consciousness wants something to establish. So now it is picking, or now it is using certain tactics to establish. Now one tactic is to use these stored perceptions, signs, memories. But if we give emphasis to them, then we are getting deluded. Again we are thinking, again we are sort of establishing consciousness on some other thing, and we are being caught. Rather, if we are using our wisdom and strictly following Buddha's teaching, we understand them as mental images, perceptions, and as a result of that, they are not getting any strength from us, so they start to fade away. Now, no feelings at all, no perceptions at all. Mind become more and more clear. So we are now continuing our practice, tranquilizing all these mental formations. Different feelings are coming and they are going. Different perceptions are coming and they are going. Why? We are not promoting them. We are not sort of feeding them. We are not grasping them. We know how to handle them. As a result of that, all the formations, mental formations, are now calming down. So this is the four steps that Buddha explained as belonging to Vedananupassana. First stage is that we may experience certain pleasurable feelings, and that also we are looking at objectively. Second stage is we getting more subtle pleasurable feelings, mostly happy feelings, feeling at ease. So that is also we are looking at objectively, we are not grasping it. And there may be a situation, certain other perceptions also might arise with different images, mental images, etc. That also we are not grasping. We know that it's a mirage. And as a result of that, all these start to calm down. Now mind become more clear, like transparent, and no objects at all. And now the tranquilizing has happened. So that is the fourth stage. So these are the eight stages. First four stages belong into Kayanupassana. Next four stages belong into Vedananupassana, and next week we'll go into the Chittanupassana stages. And with that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I open the session for questions.